In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm blessed and happy to be with you tonight, my beloved. For those of you who are new to Ottawa, anybody new to Ottawa here? Yes, so welcome home to Ottawa. This is what we always say to people to come here. Wish you a blessed, fruitful year in school and in any stage of your life. It's always a good thing to go to a different place to say a word, because I don't fear of being repetitive, you know. So whenever I go to another parish, I say, well, this is safe. If I have something in the bank, I always can say it safely without repeating myself. However, I'm not repeating myself exact word for word, because tonight's topic is a bit different. But however, the reading I'm going to share with you, which is in the second book of Kings, has come across in the past 2 weeks, and I found actually deep meanings in it, and I'm going to share it with you another aspect of it tonight. But first of all, let me ask you this. Why do you think God created man? Why do you think God created man? I don't know. I'm asking. You know, why do you think God created man? No, there is nothing. There is no right answer or wrong answer. So feel free. Yes. To love him? For who to love who? For both? For God to love man and man to love God? God doesn't need us to love him. Okay. He wants us to. Okay. Yes. Okay. Interesting. Yes. Why God created man? Although when people decide to have children, they know the headache, and they know the ache, and they know the sleepless night, but they decide to have kids. Right? Right? So why God created man? Yes. Okay, which is the same point here, like to have an interaction, to have love, because you know, interaction. I have an extension of myself to give. Why God created Eve to Adam? Adam was lonely, bored. Do you think? Lonely. It is the same thing. It is the same thing that God wanted to Adam to feel the same connection that we were talking about earlier. Look, my beloved, in our faith, we say that God is three in one, and one in three. We don't say that God is one alone, solid one, because solid one means that there is no movement there. But when we talk about the Trinity, it means that there is a dynamic there. It's not something that's solid. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. The same reason God created Adam, and the same reason God created Eve for Adam, is if the notion for us as human beings is that we have to interact. Love cannot just be between me and myself. But love is an interaction. I cannot say that I love somebody unless I'm interacting with him and her. And if I assume that I have the love in me without interacting with people, then it's not love. So this kind of dynamics is what we're going to talk about, is that I need the other and the other needs me. And I have to interact. Let me move to this, which is actually, if I will put a title to it, I would say the unknown characters. There are so many people in the Bible, we don't know their names. They mentioned in stories, And we read the stories over and over and over, but we don't know their names. Can't you mention some of them? Any stories from the Bible, whether the Old or New Testament, people, we read their stories, but we don't know their names. The widow, which widow? The old lady who came and put her 2 mites. Yes, we don't know her name. Great. Who else? The centurion, yes. For me? The blind man, we don't know his name. The boy who gave the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. The leper who came back to say thank you, yes. Yeah. The Samaritan woman, we don't know her name. The widow who actually hosted Elijah in the time of famine, we don't know her name. All these people, we don't know their names. However, in their character and their story, there is a very deep meaning. Let me share with you tonight a story. It's mentioned in the second book of Kings, chapter 5. Those of you who were there on last Sunday, forgive me, because I'm going to read it again, but I promise you the message is different. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of battle, but leper. Naaman was a great leader in the army, and he won a great battle, and because of that, he gained lots of favor before the king, and he was given medals and victory and glory. But the only thing that Naaman was suffering from is his leprosy. And the Syrian had gone out on raids and had brought back captive as a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master," means Naaman, "were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his master, the king, saying, "Thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him from his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him from his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I say to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not," and he mentioned 2 rivers in Damascus, "better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than that when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Whom do you think the center character of the story? If you would play this as a drama, as a play, who will be the center character of the story? Whom do you think? Did you follow the story? Whom do you think the center character of the story? Naaman. Anybody else? Yeah? Elisha the prophet. Why did he choose Naaman as a center? Because we mentioned his name frequently, maybe? Okay. And why did he choose Elisha? He's the main character. Anybody else? The girl. How about the girl? We don't know her name. All right? So actually, I'm going to tell you that the main character of the story is not Elisha nor Naaman, but this little girl. Can I ask you something? If this girl, you know what happened? What did she do? What did she do? What did she do in the story? She was captive. She was a slave. She was a servant in the mistress' house. Yet she did something. What did she do? Come on. What does the girl do? Huh? Anybody? I'm not going to deal with two only of you. We have to talk. What did this girl do? Can you take us to the first few verses of... I think it's... here you go. It's verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in the land of Samaria, for he would heal him from his leprosy." What did she do? What did she do so that she saved this? What do you think? Yes. She asked who? God? She asked God, but she believed in something, right? That she witnessed for something. She believed in something and she witnessed for it. And she didn't even keep it for herself, but she took it forward and spoke out. If I put myself in the place of this girl, so imagine yourself, you're a slave, you're a captive. You know what a captive means? They go and raid your land and you take you by force from this land, away from your family, away from your people, and they transfer you into a foreign land. This is captivity. And more than that, you're a slave, so you're not free. So I think if I were in her place, I would have said, no, I don't like him to be healed. He deserves what is happening to him because he took me as captive. I was free back in my land. But she didn't say that. And maybe she knew that there is a way for him to be healed. And if I were in her place, at least, if I didn't say good for him, I would say, well, it's not my business. I will not speak. I will not say anything. I will not suggest anything. The least thing that he would do for me, he would laugh on my face, right? But she didn't do this. This is why I feel that what this girl did was amazing. She believed, she took forward her face, and she witnessed for something that she deeply believed in. If I took you from the story to the story of feeding the multitude, which you mentioned about the unknown character in the Bible, about the boy who offered the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. Christ could have fed the multitude by any other way, all right? And I think if this boy wouldn't offer what he had, Christ could find another way. But the story didn't go this way. The boy, although he had a little, but he offered it. The point I'm trying to get to, my beloved, is that there are lots of times that we feel that we don't have anything to offer. That service, or for me as a Christian, sometimes I feel like I am, well, enough, and this is something, you know, some of us say a lot of time, that, you know, let me just serve myself first. I have lots of things that I need to be attending to before I think about serving other person. To take you back to the point that I started with, is that we cannot grow unless we extend ourselves beyond our abilities, beyond ourselves. You know, when the Bible says nobody can take a lamb and put it under the basket, what would happen to the lamb if you put it under the basket? The lamp will dim and it will actually be killed. The flame will be killed. Me and you are the same. Christ has given us the Holy Spirit inside of us in order to give light. If you put a lamp, a basket, on top of the lamp will be dim, and it will be killed, the flame itself. It is the same thing. So we can put it this way. To be a true Christian is to be a servant. And let me tell you something, and I want you to keep it in your mind. Servants are not necessarily those who are teaching in Sunday school. And I hate to use the term teacher, because we are not teachers. And don't ever think that the servants, in order to be a servant, he or she has to be in the Sunday school classes teaching kids. Because we are not teachers. We are servants. And Christ, when he came to teach us how to be served, he showed it to his disciples by washing their feet. Washing their feet, loving them, accepting them the way they are. So, service actually, it is for my own edification. It's for my own growing, my own growth. In order for me to be an active, dynamic Christian, I have to give. And when I talk about service here, I'm not talking about a certain template of service. You can be a servant in anywhere in your life. Here is a servant girl in a mistress house. The boy was a servant in a multitude. The Samaritan woman was a servant in nowhere. The widow was a servant in her own house when Elisha came to her and told her, give me out of there your food first. And she was about to die because there was no food left. But she learned that out of giving, there will be multitude in her house. So service is not only a template that we have it in our mind. And let me tell you something else. What we do in pre-service classes is not to give you knowledge for you to take it and give it to others. What the curriculum in the pre-service classes should actually equip us and teach us how to be servants, how to love those whom we serve, how to go beyond ourselves. Yes, knowledge is important, but it's not everything. More than in knowledge is the spirit of service. How do we serve? Here is a girl, she had the knowledge, but without the spirit of going forward, witnessing to what she believed in, she would have stayed silent. The boy, if he just used the knowledge and the logic in his mind, he would say, are you kidding me? Two fish and five loaves will be enough to feed those multitude? No way. I'll keep my lunch to myself. And he would have no blame for himself, whatever. And you know what? We do this every day. We use the logic to say that I have enough in my life. I have so many things that I have to attend to. I don't have time. And I don't have the talents. And I don't have nothing to give. Well, the least that you have to believe in is that you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have the love of God. God has touched your life in a way that nobody else, he has touched them. And you know what? The beauty about it is that God is using each one of us in a different way. What you can do, I cannot do. What this person does, I cannot do. And this is the beauty about it. And this is why you see in the Bible a spectrum of characters. Those who were rich and high in society and those who were low in society. Those who were humble, those who were knowledgeable and leaders. And God has glorified himself in each one of their life. And this is to tell us that regardless of how you feel about yourself, you don't say I'm little, you don't say I cannot, because with God you can do everything. I'm going to walk you through 7 points about the importance for us as Christians to witness. And witness and service is not only on the weekend on Sunday where I can come here and serve in a class. Those people didn't serve in classes. Those people didn't have groups to teach. But yet, out of a character like this, as simple as a captive servant lady, a great miracle has happened to her master. And we read it till today in the Bible. The first point I would like to share with you is about through service, we are enriching our life. You are enriched. You know that the difference between a stagnant lake, you know why some lakes they don't have living creatures in? Because these lakes are receiving only water by rain. But the rain comes to the lake and it stays there. It doesn't move. Because there is no movement, this is called a dead lake, and no fish can live there. For the lake to be alive is either to be fed by a stream or by some springs from underneath. You know, if you go to some areas in Ottawa or the valley, they classify the lakes. They tell you that this lake has fresh water, which means that either it's fed by a bigger lake or a river or a stream, or it has springs from underneath. There are some lakes in the valley, it's fed by underneath springs. So the underground water comes and feeds this lake. And there is a motion and constant motion in the lake. This is why we call them a living water. The water is not stagnant. If the water stays still and only receives water from the rain, but stand still in its place, it will be stagnant. And you will never be able to even smell it. Me and you were like this. You have to make yourself a river or a lake, but a living water. And guess what? In order for you to receive, you have to give. And the point of faith here is that Christ is asking us to give and then receive. The problem is we always say, give me and then I'll give away. I want to receive first and then I can give. But you know what? In faith, it goes the opposite. When he went to his disciples, he said, leave. Leave what you have and come and follow me. And no one who can never leave a brother, a sister, a father, a mother can be a disciple to me. So let go. Give, and then you will receive. And you will receive not one for one or one for ten, but you receive 100-fold in this age and the one to come too. So service or witnessing or going beyond myself is something healthy and edifying for me. When you go beyond yourself, you grow. When you go beyond yourself, when you start to give out of yourself, God will give you and you will receive. But you have to give first. Don't wait until you receive because it will not happen. Number two is to discover yourself. You don't have to be a copy of somebody else. It doesn't mean that when you're not like this person or that person, this means that you don't fit for a service or you cannot witness. As I earlier said, we are all different and God can work with each one of us in a different way and an amazing way. Only when you allow him to come to your life and work through. You know the story about the potter in the Bible. The potter who is staying in the wheel and shapes the clay. Me, I am like this in his hand. The more I give out of myself to him, he will shape me and he will make me a container of honor. So discovering my own self, you don't have to be a copy of anybody else. Just believe that God created you the way you are. And out of you, the way you are, God can do lots of things. It doesn't mean that when I'm witness or I'm serving, I have to be a Sunday school teacher. No. You can witness in every circle of your life, in your school, at work, in the street, in the bus, in your car, in the grocery store, in everywhere. You know, a simple smile in your face, meeting a person who had a bad day, can change his or her life. But this smile is coming from a joyful heart from inside. You know, so people can see your good work and glorify God. Good work is not to do miracles and to do wonders in front of people to impress them. A simple gesture of kindness in a bad day of somebody else can change his or her life. They can come to you and say, you know, excuse me, there's something different about you. I wonder what it is. So this is... Don't just limit yourself or the idea or the notion of serving to be just in the frame of a Sunday school class. No. We as Christians, we have to witness to Christ everywhere we go. In being a servant, we actually convey the love of God for me to other person. That's all. It's not to say, come, I would like to tell you something that you don't know. Or come, I would like to share with you a story today. Well, knowledge are everywhere, but life is not everywhere. When you convey love, you know, when something comes from my mind to your mind, it stays there. When something comes from my heart to your heart, it stays inside. But when something comes from my soul and my life, my whole thing, it comes to you as a practice, as an experience. It's not a dry information. And we have to know that service in essence, witnessing to God in general, is that you tasted the love of God to yourself and you just speak it to other people. You know, the Samaritan woman, from being a very shy person, avoiding meeting people and going in the middle of the day to draw water because she didn't like to meet anybody else, because she, for them, was a sinner woman. She's a bad person. So she used to go in the middle of the day because she wanted to avoid everybody. Suddenly, when she met Christ and she discovered the love of God to her, she suddenly left the well and her pot and she ran to the city and said, come, I would like you to meet him. I believe in this point of her life, she became a servant. She became a witness. And me and you, we have to discover the same thing. It is that when we discover our own identity in Christ, that we do not spare a moment of going out and say, come, I would like you to taste what I did. Never say, I'm a little or I cannot. If you look at the spectrum of characters we spoke about so far, you never that those people were not leaders in their societies. They were actually people unknown. And even we don't know their names. But yet they did wonders. Just because they witnessed for something that they believed in or they stepped up. In service, in witnessing, we will be blessed. We will receiving lots of blessings. Keeping your life in a holy atmosphere, it's always good for us. You know, we are like sponges. You absorb whatever goes around you. So if you put yourself in a good environment, you'll always find yourself protected by this. Even if there are thoughts and temptations happening in my life, there will be always the sound that come to you and say, wait a second, is this true or not? Is this right for me to do this or not? So exposing myself to witnessing, to Christ, to the field of service will always be helpful to me because you will be protected, you'll be blessed. There's something will go inside of you. It's like the lake would receive fresh water. So the water will not stay stagnant there. In witnessing, in going beyond myself, I'm actually defying the self-centeredness. Defying my self-interest. You know, in each one of us, there is ego. And, you know, whether you feel it or not, it is there. And no one, none of us, can claim that we don't have the ego-ness. It might be small, it might be a big idol. But and it sometimes it goes small and sometimes it goes big. So in serving, I learned how to make this to defy myself. Because when you give out of yourself, you're denying your self-interest. I'm giving out of my time, I'm giving out of my rest, I'm giving out of my comfort, I'm giving out of lots of resources inside of me, so I go defying my self-interest. In doing so, we learn how that through giving, it's more much pleasure to give than to receive. You are actually keeping yourself in the balance, because if you are a self-centered person, you know how the ego can be so dangerous for you. You know, there are people who all what they know and all what they behave in life is to give. Take. I want to receive. I want to be in the center of other people's eye. actually this person to be, you know, building from them idol, and they will be captive for this idol from themselves. They can never have the happiness because they are always, they are the worst enemies of themselves. When the person is centered around his or her self, God did not create us to function this way. God created us to go beyond ourselves and extend ourselves to others. And the only balance and the happiness you will never feel and you will never attain unless you go beyond the boundaries of yourself. In witnessing, in service, we go beyond ourselves. We extend our heart and our abilities to do a kind act, a word of encouragement, a word of witness, to give something that I have, to give all what I have. You know, the widow who offered the two mites, she offered all what she has. She doesn't have anything else. The boy who offered the two fish and five loaves, this is all that was his lunch. And this lady offered her witness. If my master would know, would go to meet the prophet, he would be healed. And he took her advice and he went. And he got cured. So the essence of going beyond ourselves is so important. Especially in the culture nowadays that teaches that yourself and then others. If it's for your self-interest, do it. If it's not for your self-interest, don't do it. Which is actually opposite to what those characters and what the Bible is teaching us. But remember, in giving you will receive, not only one for one. You know, if you go to the bank, if you have some lump sum of money and you want to invest it, the bank might give you, you know, you sell you, the rate now is 0.5%. If you leave it for 5 years, we can give you 1%, 2%. If you put it in the stock market, you might jump to 5% and it's not guaranteed. How about if God is telling you, when you give out of yourself, I'm going to give you 100-fold. And not only here in this word, but also the one to come after. So it's a great deal. And you know what? You're going to live it from day one. But guess what? You have to give before you receive. Because he wanted to have faith in him. I'll conclude by this. In the church life every day, the church in the liturgy, we pray what's called the litany of the offerings. Okay? On Sunday, we pray it audibly, and we say it. The priests say it in the prime hour, in the offering of matins. But in the weekdays, we don't say it audibly. We say it secretly. In this prayer, the litany of the offering, we mention three kinds of offerings. So in the church life, every day, every single day, we remember those three offerings. We remember the offering of Abraham, the offering of Abel, and the offering of the widow with the two mites. Abraham, Abel, and the widow. And you can see the great contrast between the three. Like, I would say Abraham, yes, he's one of the pillars of the Old Testament. Abel, yes. What about the widow of the two mites? Well, guess what? The three has three distinctive differences between the three. Abraham offered the dearest of for him, his son. Abel offered the best of his crop, of his cattle, and the widow offered all what she has, as if in the church life for us as believers, we are reminded every day that in order to go beyond yourself. Teach yourself to give from the dearest, give from the best, and give all of you to him, and he will give you back all of you, multiplied by 100, and the eternity too. So you see, the calculations that we do in our minds and based on our wisdom is a very dry one. You will end up being a stagnant lake, a lake that doesn't receive. If you want to receive, you have to give. And you have to give, you will receive. And you will be a living. Never say I cannot. Never say I don't have the talents. Never say I don't know how to do. Just start. Start with what you have. And pray to God that He do help you and guide you through this. To start with, you have to discover Christ in you. Because if this girl wouldn't have faith in what she's speaking about, this story would not take place. So she spoke out of experience. She knew that if her master go, he would be healed. So there is something special inside of her heart. She didn't go to a pre-servant class. Nobody had taught her to be like this. But she felt something in her. There was a deep devotion. And this is what we ought to have. Imagine with me, as we are gathering tonight here, if each one of us take the Spirit and just work on it. In your work, you would do something. In your school, you would do something. In your friend's circle, you would do something. In your relative, you do. In your family, you would do something. You will lighten a candle. Imagine that this number of young people meeting tonight, if each one of us takes something and present it to the world outside. And this something is so unique. It's not the same because you're different. You can affect the circle of people that you're living in, like this lady affected the life of Naaman. And you can give out of yourself to feed the multitude. How, I don't know. It is God's work. But I believe that it's possible because those people were no different than us. You have names, you're recognized. You have degrees, you're educated. But those people were not. But yet God worked through them. And this is what I'll finish with, is that denying myself. Is when you deny yourself, when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Is when because God wants those humble people to work in them. And the more I put myself under His hand, the more He will work through me. You know, the ego or ourselves, we are sometimes opposing God's work in us. He tells me, I want you to go there. I said, no. I want you to do it this way. I said, no. I want to do it my way. But the more you become to be flexible in His hand, the more He will shape of you a great vessel, a great servant, a great witness, a great character to light, to give light to the Word. So I pray and wish that God will touch the heart of each one of us, that in your circle, regardless of how small or teeny tiny is, but start with this. Start by lighting a candle in your life. In the circle of people that you're living among, in your friends, in families, in homes, in whatever, but do something. And let God to lead you through this. Out of your devotion, out of your love to Him, and out of your self, you know, denial. Like, you know, I have cared for myself so much, but I didn't receive anything. Let me try to give and see how much you receive, because you receive much. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.